bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that you have come. And Father, that you have come with a shout, which is a message. And we know that shout is to preempt, it is to bring forth a gathering together of your elect. It is to prepare us for the great voice of the resurrection, which is soon to come. And as your prophet said, he believed the resurrection would take place sometime in the spring. Father, we know that we are in that midst of the spring right now, and we look for the resurrection. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves unto thee. We pray, Father, that you would bless the word, which would go forth. May it bring forth fruit in our lives, Father. May it bring forth a closer walk with thee. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to, this morning, continue with a somewhat of a simple message. It's from Who is this Melchizedek? And reading from paragraph 52, actually, I think it's, well, it depends on which, it's I think around 100 something now, but depends on which book we're reading from, actually. The new search engine has it as number 52, I believe it's around 100 and, let's see here, about 115 maybe. 117, 119. It's around 120 in the booklets. I should make a note of that. And Brother Branham said, "Now notice, now we see Melchizedek and why that Mary wasn't his mother. That's the reason he called her woman, not mother. He had no father, for he was the Father, the everlasting Father, the three in one." He had no mother, certainly not. He had no father, for he was the Father. As the poet said one time, speaking the great compliments unto Jesus, he said, "I am that spoke to Moses in a burning bush of fire. I am the God of Abraham, the bright and morning star. I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning from the end. I am the whole creation, and Jesus is the name." That's right. "Oh, would you? Who do you say that I am? And whence do you say that I came? Do you know my father, or call, or can you tell his name?" Hallelujah. That's the Father's name. Yeah, "I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not." See? Sure, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I would like to just stop at this moment, and I'm actually going to cross off a paragraph, and we'll just stop at that moment, because I would like to look at this thought of the name. Now, I thought perhaps of looking at the other thought there where Brother Branham said that he had no father, for he was the Father, the everlasting Father. He had no mother, certainly not. He had no father, for he was the Father. But now, that ought to settle it right there, because if Brother Branham said he was the Father, then he's not the Son, right? I mean, I could just close the book right here and we could all just go home. Because Brother Branham said Melchizedek was the Father. Right there, plain as... In fact, I think it's even in bold. Just as plain as can be, Melchizedek, he says, was the Father. He had no father, had no mother, because he was the Father. For he was the Father, the everlasting Father, the three in one. All right, for he was the Father. Now, but what does the Word, what does the Word of God tell us? And we turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Brother Branham is quoting from Paul here. Where he says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and who blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace." Now remember, Jesus was the prince of peace, but this one is the king of peace. And Brother Branham said, what is the king, but he's the father of the prince. He says, "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor of ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth part of the spoils." And so, this is where people run into a little bit of a problem. Paul says, "Now consider how great this man was." And so they say, "Well, see, he was a man, therefore it couldn't have been the father." But I ask the question, in speaking of Jesus, the man, who dwelt in you? The Father. All right, then we look at Melchizedek, the man, who is dwelling in him? The Father. So get the man out of the picture. It's like Brother Vail told me years ago. He said, Brian, he said, it's not the vehicle God uses. It's the fact that God is using. He said, don't get your eyes on the pillar of fire. Don't get your eyes on the cloud of fire or the cloud, you know, in the wilderness or the rock that followed them. He said, the thing of it is, it doesn't matter what vessel, what badger skin, what vehicle God uses, it's still God doing it. Right? So if we can see that, then we have no problem understanding the difference between the Father and the Son. We can see one was a Son, he was a man, he was obedient, and yet the Father dwelling in him was the one who performed the miracles. And the same with Melchizedek. You see, it wasn't Jesus the man. Otherwise, you got Jesus being born twice. Or no, actually, this one wasn't born, now he's born. Or would you rather have a body that's not born or a body that's born? Because the body that's born has got to die. You see? And now you're all confused because which body was the real body that Jesus is going to be with for eternity? But see, it wasn't Jesus' body. It was God's body. It was a body that God made. Like Brother Branham said many other times, he said God took some dust and he blew it and he said, step into that. You see? So God stepped into that. So he says, come on, Michael, come on, Gabriel, we're going down to earth to have a conference. And so God stepped into their body. So I think what we need to do then is we look at what Brother Brown said. He says, it's the Father. I don't think I need to preach again on that. But what I would like to do is talk about something else here, which is very important. He says, that's the Father's name. Yes, he said, I came in my Father's name and you received me not. He said, do you know my Father or can you tell his name? Hallelujah, that's the Father's name. And so Brother Brown's letting us know, he's quoting Jesus, letting us know that the name Jesus is actually the name of the Father. You see? Now the Scripture tells us that he was without father, without mother. In other words, this was one that was not born. Neither did he have any beginning of days or ending of life. And Brother Branham said, the reason that he had no mother or father was because he was the Father. He then quotes a poem that says, do you know my Father or can you tell his name? Hallelujah. And then Brother Branham says, that's the Father's name. Yeah, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. See, sure, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? In Malachi 3 and verse 6, it says, I am God, I change not. Then in Hebrews 13 and 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who's Jesus Christ? He's God. The Father. It's not speaking of the Son. The Son did change. Remember, the Bible says he learned obedience, so he went from one thing to another. The Bible says that he grew in stature and he grew in favor with God and in knowledge of God. So what happened? He changed, but the Father doesn't change. You see? So the Father is Jesus Christ that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see? So we see there is something about the name that throws people off. And yet Jesus was very plain when he said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Now I would like to examine the name. This name that Jesus came in, because it seems to throw so many into confusion concerning it. If we turn to John chapter 5, we'll read the verses where Brother Branham was quoting from here. In beginning of verse 36, he says, But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which my Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. In other words, he's talking about vindication. You see, John didn't come with vindication. John didn't have miracles. John didn't speak in the name of the Lord and the thing came to pass. Wow. And yet God did vindicate him as the man that stood there. He had a 6-month-long ministry. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. You know, wouldn't that be nice? Just, okay, Lord, I'm going to, for 6 months now, you're going to use me in whatever way you see fit, and then after that, I'm free to go home. Of course, the way he went home wasn't so pleasant. He got his head cut off, but it sure beats trooping around the world and, you know, all over the place for, I mean, can you imagine Brother Vail, 87 years old, well, he hasn't preached for about a year now, but he's still ministering because he's still working on his sermons that he's already preached and getting them so that they're fit for print. He started preaching at 22. That's 65 years. 65 years versus a half a year.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have John's, you know, 6 years of hardship, 6 years of preaching, 6 years of, you know. And I tell you, you might think it's a bad thing getting your head cut off, but it's painless. It is. You don't feel it coming. The worst part of it is thinking about it. But after your head's cut off, you don't think about it any longer. So it's actually the least amount of pain. But anyway, he says, I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Now, in order for him to bear witness, he's got to be there, right? He says, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you have life, that you may have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name. Now here he tells it, okay? The name that I have is my Father's name. Now what does the name Jesus mean? Jehovah Savior. So Jesus came in his Father's name, Jehovah Savior, see? And he says, I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another would come in his name, Brother Brown said, that's denomination, him will you receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? So he's telling something about the name here that brings honor. Now think of the honor that the bride will have when her name is changed to Mrs. Jesus. You see, he's talking about, he says, how can you believe which receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And what is that honor? It's the name. Okay? Do not think that I will accuse you to my Father. There is another that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Notice here that Jesus tells us, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, but if another would come in his own name, him you receive. In other words, there is something about the name of the Father that the people don't want. They will accept a man if he comes in another name, but if he comes in the name of the Father, then they do not seem to want it, that. And that is what Jesus is telling us. Now, from modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Branham said, God put his name in Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the Son of God. Every son comes in his Father's name. He said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. I come in my Father's name. You come in your Father's name. You come in your Father's name. Jesus come in his Father's name. So his Father's name is Jesus. It's exactly. Because he came in his Father's name and you receive me not. Another will come and him you will receive. You'll take your denomination and go on with them. Just go ahead, the Bible says. They will raise up to fulfill this place, blind, naked, and don't know it. Church, religion. Oh, very pious, just the same as Cain was. Make a sacrifice, make everything just the same as Abel did, but by revelation it was revealed to him what the sacrament was, not fruits of the field and something to do with your hands. The believer can see the Word made manifest or made flesh. The others cannot do it. So Brother Bam's talking about that name and the importance of the name and the very fact that Jesus came in his Father's name, whose Father's name was Jesus. All right, from ashamed of him, Jesus said, I came in my Father's name and you receive me not. But there will be one come in his own name and you'll receive him. That's your denominations. Now any son comes in his Father's name. Jeremy, what's your father's last name? What's your last name? You think that's a coincidence? Huh? No, I don't think so. Steve, what was your father's last name?
Gray.
What's your last name?
Gray.
Lisa, what's your last name? Is that a coincidence? Why? You come in your father's name, didn't you? All right. But there will be one that comes in his own name and you'll receive him. That's your denominations. But any son comes in his father's name. I come in my father's name. You men come in your father's name. And what was his name? What is the name of the Father? Jesus. He came in my father's name. You receive me not. Now, his bride will have his name, of course. I took a woman by the name of Broy, and she became a Branham. She's coming. He's coming for a bride. Be sure and remember that.
You're all getting a name change, you know that?
From God's provided place of worship, Brother Ramson, that's God's provided way, and the only way that He has is in Jesus Christ, His Son. And in His Son, He placed His name. His God's name is Jesus, because He came in His Father's name. And so that would be God's name, because He was God. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, and he was a little bit kind of an eccentric fella, and I really loved him. God put us on the backside of the desert over there in Indiana for a couple of years together, where there really wasn't any believers that really believed in the vindication of William Branham, except for Brother Ken and myself and Brother Charlie. Yeah, Charlie Weaver. Then there was a bunch of churches over there that kind of believed, that kind of followed Junior Jackson, but they don't believe, Junior Jackson's groups don't believe, and Brother Branham was the prophet. You know, they think Junior Jackson was a prophet like Brother Branham and stuff like that. But anyway, Brother Ken Henderson, God bless his soul, he's still living, but he was quite eccentric, and he was taking, at the university, he was taking Hebrew, majoring in Hebrew and Russian. And anyway, so he got real excited one day, and he comes over to my house, and he's just up in cloud nine. He said, "The Lord revealed to me His name today." And I said, "Ken, I've known that for years." And he just kind of, and he said, "You do?" And I said, "Yes, it's Jesus." No, it's, yeah, Abba. And I said, "Ken, it's Jesus. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New." And he said, "No, it's Yahweh." And I said, "Ken," I said, "Brother Branham said the name of God is Jesus. He came in His Father's name." You see? So that's where our education gets it, I guess. But anyway. So, Brother Branham said now, from Revelation Book of Symbols, he said, "Watch all these names. They mean something. Every name in the Bible. When you see one name in the Bible, it means something. Did you know Israel's wives, when they gave birth to the 12 patriarchs, each one of those mothers, when they were having the baby, and the baby was being born, and then groaning, the groans that they came out and named those boys in the very groans that they give. It signified the nature of the child and the place that they'd make their final resting place." That's why Brother Branham said, "Don't you call your son Ricky or Elvis." Because Ricky means rat and Elvis means cat. He says, names mean something, and it actually gives you, it actually represents the nature of the child. Every groom, amen. Every groan, amen. Under the power of the Holy Ghost, that's the reason we should be groaning in the Spirit. Now, pardon me a lot of put on, but I really mean in travail for the church. Then the Holy Spirit, then you can get some real speaking with tongues and interpretation, the Holy Spirit making utterances and tells through the groans and prayers, be real truth too. It'll be something right now that you'll see take place. And now from the Voice of God, page 30, Brother Bass said, now, we find out that they set the pace. And did you ever notice our young boys has become Ricky and Elvis? You got a child named that, change it right quickly. Call him number one or two or something. That's horrible. You say, well, what difference does a name make? Why, sure, it means something. Your name characterizes your life. Now, Brother Branham, you're on numerology. No, I'm not. I'm on Thus Saith the Lord. Why was it when Jacob, when he lived through his name as a deceiver, as a planter, Jacob? But when God changed him, He changed his name. God changed Saul to Paul, Simon to Peter, certainly. It has something, and Ricky and Elvis and such names as that is the modern American name that which throws a child automatically right into that. He changed Abram to Abraham, Sarah, Sarai to Sarah, Saul to Paul, Simon to Peter, Jacob to Israel. And from the Message once more, he says, what have we got? The Pentecostal people today? Too many Rickies.
The word Elvis and Ricky, you never heard of that in other days. It's a word, it's the name for this day. It goes with this. It means something. You say a name means nothing. Well, then, why did he change Abram's name to Abraham? Why did he change Saul's name to Paul? Simon's name to Peter? Why did he change his own name? Why did he change Jacob to Israel? Not until he wrestled with the Lord. Not until he overcome. And when Jesus overcome death, hell, and the grave, the Bible said he had a new name. And then when Jacob overcome, a new name. And what does the Bible say? He said, he that overcometh, I will give him what? A new name. Now notice there's something then about a name. God's prophet said so. And men have studied all about what names mean for millenniums. You can buy books of names and they'll tell you what the names mean. I was talking to, I can't remember his name now, it's been too many years ago, but when I worked at Fuji Tech, there was a young man, his grandfather was a Christian. He was from Japan. He said his father suffered great persecution because of his Christian walk. And he said something, and we got to talking about things, he said, you know, I've read your Bible and I cannot understand why people celebrate Christmas. He said, nowhere does it say that he was born in December. And I said, no, in fact, it said all lambs are born in April. Or in the springtime. And then we got to talking, and he said, you know, another thing he said about your people, he said, you know, I mean the Americans, he said, the names that they choose. He said, when we choose a name, when a child's born, we do it for something of respect. There's something that me and I said, well, we do the same thing. You know, I said, I name my children after people that we had respect for in the Bible. And I said, you know, real Christians do that. But here's a man who was not a Christian himself, although he was had a great heart's desire to want to understand, because he had great admiration for his grandfather. And he could see these things that the American people are so blind, miserable, naked, don't even know it. And so we understand then. And men have understood for millennia what a name means. That names have meanings. Their characterization of character. Alright? Then we have to ask ourselves that if names have meanings, and if they tell us the character of the person who has that name, then what about the name of God? What will that name tell us? And what will it tell us about his son in whom he placed his own name? And finally, what will that tell us about the bride who was given that name? And now for the next few minutes, I'd like to take several scriptures that speak of the name of the Lord. Number one, we must understand that this name is above all names, because there's only one God, one Lord, and therefore his name is unique and it is representative of his nature. Therefore, we must understand this name is above all names, and there is no other name like it. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9 we read, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So that name is above every name. In Psalm 148, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And in Psalm 8, and verse 10, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know, we sing that song. You know, oh Lord, you know, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Whatever. All right. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pathahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. So we see by scriptural references here that we have several scriptures that reference the exaltation of that name. Acts 19 and verse 17, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." And in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2, "If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, yea, and I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart." So there's a law written here by the Word of God that not only is God's name exalted, but we must exalt it. Because if we don't exalt it, and if we don't respect it, then actually God says, I will even curse you, and I will curse you, I will curse your blessings, yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. You do not exalt and give glory to the name of God. Okay, number two. This name has been given for us for healing and prayer. In James 5 and verse 14 we read, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Number three. It has been given to us for purpose and for character. Because if we are not willing to suffer with him, we shall not reign with him. You see, his name is our heritage. It's our identity. And Jesus said that they do not know you because they didn't know your Father. In James 5 and verse 10, he says, "Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and patience." In Acts chapter 21 verse 13, "Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am not ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Acts 15, verse 26, "Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you see, the name, there's something specific about it. There's something character building about it. Because remember, if you don't suffer, you don't have character. And so by identifying with that name, you're going to suffer. You will suffer. You're already suffering. As I said a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, sometimes I have these brain locks. I can't remember one week from the next. Everything's just flooding together. Look, we've been together for 20 years. Where's the 20 years gone? But like I mentioned, you sisters, because of the name of the Lord, you wear your hair a certain way, you wear your clothing modestly, and you take a lot of flack. Maybe not so much right to your face, but as soon as you walk around the corner. And you young men, if you would really take a stand for the Lord, you're going to suffer as well. But it builds character. It builds character. Number four, it is given to us for holiness. For it is His name and He is holy. In 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaven a whole lump?" So he's speaking about, he says, in the name of the Lord, you're going to deliver this one over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. And so what you're looking at then is the power of the name. "In thy name they shall cast out devils. In thy name they shall do many wondrous things." You see. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6, he says, "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." So you see, in the name of the Lord is what brings separation, for the word's sake, for holiness' sake.
2 Thessalonians 1:12, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a glorification taking place. Now, from Acts 19, verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And it worked. These men weren't even followers of Jesus, but they used the same, if you want to call it, name that Paul was using, and it brought the same results. Okay, number 5. Everything that we do, then, should be done in this name. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Number 6, we use it to give thanks. In Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:4, in the name of the Lord Jesus, when you're gathered together. No, we already read that one. Okay, number 7. We are joined in mind and spirit by the name. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same spirit. Number 8. It is given for deliverance. It is given for salvation. How many times have any of you been riding down the road and maybe you hit a patch of ice and all you can hear is out of your own mouth, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. I've been there. You all been there. What happens? He helps you. His name is given for deliverance. It's given for salvation. In Romans 8:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, the rightly wise, run into it, and they are safe. In Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. From Acts 21:2-21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see all these scriptures giving us reference to this. Number 9, therefore then we are baptized in the name. And it's for the washing, the cleansing. So the name brings cleansing to us. In Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In Acts 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. In Acts 10:48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we see then that we have a washing of water by the word. And of course, his name is even part of that word. All right, now, number 10. We have the name of the Lord for blessing. We bless in the name of the Lord. In Matthew 21:9, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we have it for identification. The name is for identification. The name is for focus. You know, if I were to say, hey, you, come here. Well, you're all going to say, which you are you talking about? But if I say, hey, you, William S. Gray, come here. Well, there's only one William S. Gray in this room. So the name brings focus to our prayer. Oh, God, do this, this, this. God who? Which God? The God of this age? God of this evil age? No. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Now you've got focus.
Now you've got focus. Malachi 3:16, "And they that feared the Lord, that spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his," what? "His name." Malachi 3:16. Number 12, it is a name in which we are to walk in. Malachi 4, verse 5, "For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." The old song, you know, "They will know that we are Christians by our love." They will know that we are Christians by our love. And what is the word Christian? It means Christ-like. It has to do with the name. And finally, number 13, "And yet above even his own name, above all these things that we've read, all these attributes that express, even above his own name, he has placed his word. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And in Psalm chapter 1, you know, that ought to tell us how important it is, how important his word is, to say only what he said. We've read many scriptures today on the name, the importance of the name, the power of the name, the holiness that the name evokes, the safety in the name, the security in the name, salvation in the name, deliverance in the name. And yet above that name, he's chosen to place his word. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your name. And because your prophet declared, "I no longer call you church, but I call you bride." And if bride, we have taken on the name of the groom. And the groom being your very presence here among us in the form and fashion of the Holy Spirit, your word, and we are now called Mrs. Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for the name, because in it there's safety, there's security, there's heritage, there's focus, there's blessings, there's even overcoming. And Father, we thank you for your name. And Lord, we just pray that we would walk respectfully of it. In Jesus' name we pray.